y'all. Welcome back to the Luxury Investment Podcast. I am your host, Carter. Welcome. Thank you so much for listening and watching. If you're watching on my YouTube channel, if you don't know, I do record all of these with video. If you are video inclined, you can always watch over there. Today's episode is a great one. It is one of my most common asked questions every time I travel. If you don't follow me on Instagram, I travel quite a bit. I love traveling and I vlog whenever I travel. I put them on my stories and my YouTube. And every time I travel and I shop, I get this question: what is the best country to buy luxury goods in? And how do you get the tax back whenever you're coming back into the U.S. after buying luxury goods in a foreign country? We are going to go over all of those details here in this episode today. So listen up. It's going to be a good one. Okay, let's get into it. What country is the best to buy luxury goods? Well, this is kind of a twofold answer because it does depend what brand you're talking about. Every brand is always going to be the cheapest in its home country. That's sort of for a variety of different reasons. But if you're looking for something in particular, you're always going to want to go to that brand's home base. For example, Chanel. Chanel was started in France, obviously by Coco Chanel, and their flagship store is in Paris. So inevitably, Chanel is always going to be the cheapest in France. Now, there are some variables with this. You definitely have huge changes in currency, and currency is always going to dictate where something is the cheapest. But that's sort of its own subject, so let's just talk basics, right? Let's say you want to buy your very first Chanel bag. Perfect. Now, why is it always cheaper in its home country? Well, like I said, it is for a variety of reasons, but a couple of the main points are import tax and shipping. It is always going to be cheapest for the goods to stay in the country where it was manufactured. For example, Chanel, most of their goods are manufactured in France. They do have some facilities in Italy, but of course, that's all a part of the European Union. And when you take a good and you ship it to the US, US has import tax on that good. So right off the bat, the item will always be more expensive because the brand has to compensate for the import tax on whatever country they're sending it to. So that's a huge one. Next is shipping. It's inherently obviously expensive to ship large amounts of pallets of goods to other places. And you take away both of those issues when you're buying something in the brand's home country. Next, we have currency. Now, it is always going to be easiest for a country that it manufactures something in the same currency to sell it in that same currency because they're not dealing with exchange rates and the bubbles of those exchange rates and trying to compensate for that company's profits, right? So brands are always trying to compensate for those fluctuations in different currencies by making something maybe a little bit higher than it would be because that currency maybe is going to fluctuate higher and lower. Now, that being said, you will always have the benefit of a currency maybe dramatically dropping. There is obviously going to be a benefit of you going to that country and buying there because of the current currency rate of that country. But in general, they do try to like fix more rates where currency might fluctuate a little bit to where it helps them not lose so much of their profit based on something like currency. But as a consumer, you can absolutely still benefit from currency fluctuations. A great example of this is Australia. Right now, the Australian dollar is very low compared to the US dollar, which means if you were to travel to Australia, your American dollar is going to take you further in Australia than it has in times past, which means it's a great place to buy luxury. But like I said before, we already know that brands have heightened prices in other countries trying to compensate for this variable. And on top of that, you have the fact that Australia has usually high import taxes. So when luxury goods are being imported into Australia, they have to heighten their prices in order to compensate paying that high income tax. For example, Hermes is much more expensive in Australia. Chanel is much more expensive in Australia. So you really have to start crunching your numbers. Is the Australian dollar low enough to override the fact that it's already been heightened in price originally? Maybe, and there's a good chance, but a bit of a tip for you, because you know I'm all about luxury deals and teaching you how to make your closet into an investment portfolio. This really is only an issue when you're talking about retail prices. If you find a company that does pre-loved luxury goods, now you're basing an item on what it is worth and not what it is priced at retail. And usually companies will sell things based, of course, on what they're worth. So if you are buying something in USD based on what it's worth in Australian dollars, then you're getting the most benefit from the currency exchange. And it is a win-win on the deal hunting finds for sure. There is a great company from Australia that's actually sponsored me on Instagram before. I love them. They are called Hawkeye Vintage. This is not sponsored. I'm just shouting them out because they're a great company. They are from Australia. This would apply to them. So you obviously always want to be like kind of noting how strong the dollar is compared to other countries' currencies. And you can kind of do your own math here. But right now, that would be a great place. And you're supporting a small business over there in Australia. Now, you do obviously have to expect that the shipping is going to be a long time because it always takes such a long time to ship from Australia, but it is well worth the wait if you're getting a great deal. Okay, now let's go back over to Europe and use the example of Chanel in France. Obviously, in Europe, they use euros, and usually the euro compared to the US dollar pretty much stays the same. So you're not going to have as much fluctuation in currency compared to euros as you would maybe other countries' currencies, right? So when you're comparing those two things, you really don't need to worry about the currency as much, but because they don't have to factor in those other two big ones, shipping and import tax, inherently, typically, the prices in euros are always going to be a little bit less, which is a win. But then you have the sweet spot that we all call tax back. If you don't know, there is this thing called VAT, which is VAT, which stands for value added tax, which by definition means the tax on sales of goods. Now, if you do not live in a country, but you are buying a good, you are paying tax to that country. But because you are not a resident of that country, you shouldn't technically be paying tax because you don't earn an income in that country. So whenever you leave the country will refund you the tax that you paid during your stay because you're supposed to be paying taxes in your home country where you earned your income and not just in the country that you happen to be traveling in. And that is tax back. Now, there are different percentages for the different brands and how much you can get back in your tax back or your VAT VAT tax back. It's usually around 10 to 16%. Now, there is a minimum. Usually, it's around 100 euros minimum in any one purchase that in order to qualify for the tax back. So if you're under that 100 euros, you don't qualify and they won't be giving you the receipt where you sign your information, put your passport number, etc. You do need to be over that threshold for them to even offer it to you. This is literally anywhere that you're shopping that is a good. So any of the malls, Zara, etc., etc. Over that 100 euro threshold, you can get the tax back. Now, how that works is two different ways. This does vary from country to country very much. So you do want to keep in mind that depending on the country you're at, you will want to ask the sales associate helping you how it works, and they will be able to tell you. They're very, very used to tourists getting their tax back, so they know all the ins and outs of it. And it does change every once in a while as well. So it is good to ask just to get up to date. Maybe it's changed from the last time you were in that country, etc. For example, I was just in Germany, and their tax back system works massively different than in France. They get 19% back. Crazy. But anyways, more on that later. I'll go into my whole Germany experience. We're sticking on France right now. So in Chanel, let's say you get 10% back. I'm pretty sure it's 10% since the last time I was there. They have two options for you. You can get cash at the airport in the form of a refund where they will literally hand you cash, or you can get a refund to your card in 30 to 60 days. And that means you get a little bit more. I'm pretty sure it's 12% back to your card and 10% back if you get it in cash. And how it works is they will give you a receipt. Usually it is Global Blue. Now, Global Blue is a third-party company that handles the tax back for Chanel. I know this is getting a little complicated, but stay with me. There are really two main third-party companies that deal with the majority of brands. You have Global Blue and you have Planet. Those two are the ones that you're going to deal with the most. Now, you get a little pamphlet that says Global Blue, or you get a pamphlet that says Planet on it. You fill out your information, like your name, your address, your passport number, and the brand or the store that you're in will do the rest. They fill out this little paperwork, and when you're at the airport, before you check your bags and before you get on the plane, you will stand in line at the tax back station and get a stamp. Now, that stamp is declaring that you have the goods with you, and they are validating that fact. So when you put it in the mail, it gets sent back to your credit card, or you take that stamped validation to another office and they hand you the cash right there. Now, on the opposite side of that, you do have some places that handle their own tax back. And this is what I experienced in Germany, which I found very interesting. Global Blue and Planet are third-party companies, so they are charging these brands for this service of handling their tax back, right? Well, in Germany, there are a lot of stores that don't want to take on those fees, and so they handle it themselves. For example, COS, COS in Germany, does not go through a third party. They handle it themselves. So when I went and shopped in their store, they gave me the receipt. I went to the border. I had it stamped. I brought it back to COS, and they gave me cash in their store because they handle their own tax back. And because of that, I got 19% back at COS instead of the only 10% back I got in Germany in Chanel, because that 9% or 5% or whatever it is goes to the third party. So that's just something to keep in mind. You might ask the sales associate if you're looking to make a really big purchase, do you handle your own cash back, or is it a third party, or what company handles your cash back? And they'll be able to give you all of that information. It's probably going to be very, very rare if a luxury brand would ever handle their own tax back. Pretty much always you're going to be going through a third party, but you do want to keep in mind what that third party is, who it is, right? Because that is the station that you're going to go to at the airport. Now, you can get into a bit of a nightmare. These stations can be closed when you get there. If you have a really early flight, they're not in yet, etc., etc. So you do kind of want to keep that in mind. It can turn into a nightmare situation where you miss your flight very easily because everybody is doing this, right? So the lines are very, very long. And I will touch on this as well. So there is a rule when you're coming back into the US, if you have bought goods over the value of $800, you are supposed to declare those items and pay tax on it in the US, right? When you do that, you are paying a good amount of money in US tax. So you aren't getting that good of a deal anymore doing that. So there's kind of a variety of things that people do. You can obviously choose not to declare. And if you get caught, you would get a very big fine. A lot of times on the other side, they will check bags. So if you are going down that route, right, and you do get stopped and checked your bags and they find a whole bunch of items with a whole bunch of receipts that are clearly over $800, then you're going to get fined and you'd have to pay, you know, right then in order to get your items back. It's kind of a big whole thing. I won't go into all of that on this podcast, but I will say where you fly into will very much depend on how strict the border control is. If you're flying into New York, for example, it is a huge resale hub. And so they're trying to stop people from, you know, going to France, buying 25 Chanel bags and then importing them to the US and making a whole bunch of profit, not paying tax on the fact that they're making money in the US because they're importing something into the US. The brands have to pay import tax just like you would if you were going to make profit on an item that you were importing into the US, right? So in New York, you are going to have a higher percent of chance of getting stopped than maybe you would in, you know, middle America, for example. So just kind of take that with a grain of salt. I'm just kind of explaining to you how it works. I know a lot of people that do not declare. They've never been caught. It's never been a big deal at all, but they do kind of cautiously pick and choose what airport they're flying into. Again, technically, that would be, I guess, illegal, right? Like you're not supposed to not be declaring when you're coming in. Again, I'm just giving you this information. I also know people that declare every single time. They spend a lot in Europe. And when they declare that over $800, it does significantly change the deals that they got. It pretty much turns into maybe just a little bit less than what they would have been able to buy it in the US. And from that aspect, you're not actually getting a good deal anymore. So this is up to you. I'm just here to give you the information, right? Okay, so let's get into how you're going to get the best deal on the item you're looking for in your home country. Every item is going to be dramatically different. A lot of people don't know this, and you'll actually hear people say, like, oh, I went to France and like everything was the same in Chanel. You're not getting a better deal at all. It was actually a little more expensive because the euro was high, and even with the tax back, it's like the same as the US. And that's because they're looking at items that are priced extremely similar across the board because of what we talked about earlier. Chanel or whatever brand is trying to compensate for the fact that there are those fluctuations in currencies, etc. Now, other items are not priced like that. For example, the double flap in Chanel is one of those items that is very across the board. You're not going to get that much less in France than you necessarily would in the US because of the import, etc. But if you went when the euro happened to be a little lower and you got all of your tax back, you went through the process, you got there early, you made sure your flight was in the middle of the day, et cetera, et cetera, you are going to come out on top, but you're not going to save thousands of dollars at all. You might save $500, right? But if you look at things like brooches are pretty much always less expensive in France, significantly less than what they're priced in the US, because that isn't an item that they marginalize across the board. So you would be able to save maybe $150 to $200 off of a brooch that you buy in France over you buying it in the US. And then, of course, you have other items that are available in Europe that are not available in the US, so you can get things that are much more exclusive, and you can play the game however you want. But all this to say, you do just want to have a mental note of how much things cost in the US. You want to go over all the potential things that you might be interested in buying in Chanel, for example. If you're going to Paris, you're going to go to the flagship store. You want to look at maybe the shoes, right? You want to look at a bag. Maybe it's a seasonal bag, and you want to look at brooches, earrings, and wallets. Okay, cool. You want to look at all six of those things in the US, and you want to note how much they are and how much they would be, including the tax in the US, because that variation, that difference is huge. You do want to include the tax in the US, and you do want to minus the tax in France in order to have an accurate number to work with, right? So you do definitely want to consider both of those things. Typically, what I do is I kind of just do this in my head because I've shopped for a while, right? Let's say something is 500 euros. I may say, okay, so that's going to be roughly like $600, and I'm going to get the tax back, so it's probably going to be more like 550, right? It's usually a little more and then a little less. You can kind of do roughly that in your head, right? Like, oh, it's 10% more and less, depending on what the euro is to the US dollar, et cetera. But like, that's kind of a good way to do it. It's maybe an extra little bit, and then half that is what you're going to get back in the tax. So I'm going to look at that 500 euro item and say, okay, that's going to cost me 550. How much is it in the US? If that Louis Vuitton scarf is 695 in the US, I'm getting $150 off that scarf. Heck yeah, great deal. Love it, right? So that's how you do the math. That's how it works. It is very important that you have an understanding of what something costs in the US before you go to whatever other country, because it will make all the difference in you understanding if you're getting a good deal or not. This is the same for Gucci, for example. Their home country is Italy, Manolo Blahnik, Italy, Balmain, France, Burberry, United Kingdom. The list goes on and on. Whatever you're looking for, Google the home country. If you're going there, note what the US price is, and then base it on what the currency exchange is when you're going and how much it is in the US and how much tax you're going to get back on that item. Speaking of United Kingdom, though, since Brexit, they have officially gone away with all tax back. So you just kind of want to note that if you're planning on going to London anytime soon or Scotland, you will not be able to get tax back at the airport like you used to be able to get. So it is really disappointing. It is not cheaper at all to shop in the UK, and it's had a major effect on the luxury goods sales in the United Kingdom as a result of that. So that's just kind of an interesting thing to note. Now, all this being said, you are trading your time for the tax back, right? It is a bit of a faff. You are getting the paperwork, organizing the paperwork, filling out the paperwork, going to the airport with ample amount of time to get in line. You do also want to have the items with you, like I said. You do not want to check your bags before you go into that line, because the officer has the rights to ask you for the item for them to show it. Now, you didn't hear this from me, but technically, there's no way of them knowing and black Chanel bag from another black Chanel bag. So, you know, for example, sometimes like I'll buy something for my mom and we might be leaving at different times. And so I'm the one coming in for the tax back. And if they ask me to prove that I had that Chanel black bag, but it's with my mom, she already left 2 weeks prior or something, I can easily show them my Chanel black bag and they're just like, okay, you know, so again, you didn't hear that from me. Nobody come for me. I don't know. But I'm just saying there, you know, you want to note all of these things and how the system works. So you're very well educated whenever you go in. Now, all of that does take, you know, a good amount of time. Like I said, it is definitely the easiest to get the stamp and get it back on your credit card than it is to go through another line to get the cash back at the actual airport. So if you have the luxury to be able to do that, that is, you know, quite nice. If you're going to another country and you'd rather have the cash than waiting another 60 days, you just want to prepare yourself for how much time it is going to take you to do that. I've had successful runs with it and I've definitely had not successful runs with it. They have these new things in the airport now that are kiosks. Then you scan the paperwork at the kiosk instead of having the stamp. And they did that so it would go a lot faster because obviously you can have multiple kiosks instead of just one stand. And I get there early, way early enough, and the kiosks are all shut down or the office is closed and nobody knows when they're going to open. Nobody knows their hours. So it can definitely turn into a nightmare very quickly. And then it's like a big faff because you're like, okay, well, what do? I can't get the stamp in the country that I'm leaving. What am I supposed to do? Et cetera, et cetera. Now, I will say both Global Blue and Planet have become much, much more lenient since the whole world shut down, obviously. So you do have that to your advantage. You can absolutely contact Global Blue or Planet and be like, hi, like this was shut down. How am I supposed to get my stamp? Whatever. And usually they'll work it out with you. You do have a good amount of time after you get back in order to call their customer service. I've never called Planet, but I have talked to Global Blue and their customer service was relatively great. I mean, I didn't have any issues working it out with them. But all that being said, you know, like I am going through this whole process and is taking headspace and time. And if you're on a vacation and you don't want to worry about it, that is something to consider. But this is about the Luxury Investment Podcast, right? And how to make the best deals and how to buy the best investment value for your investment portfolio, which is your closet. So definitely worth the extra bit of time spent on the front end learning how that system works in order for you to get those good deals. But it is only going to be worth it, right, if you're buying things that you can pair to in the US and you're actually getting a good enough amount off of, right? If you're buying a Chanel classic flap and it ends up only being like $100 less expensive to buy it in Europe and that's the only thing you bought, right? Then it might not be worth, you know, waking up 4 hours earlier and going through the massive headache only for $100 if that's not worth it to you. I have gotten amazing deals throughout my travels through this whole process, both buying pre-loved in Australia and buying retail in Europe. But I will say the only reason I'm able to walk away profitable as far as an asset is concerned is because I do know what those prices are in the US and I am comparing them. I'll give you one more example. I bought my mom the Chanel Mini in the flagship store in Paris, and that bag is the only one out of all of the Chanel double flaps that just happened to be significantly less in euros than it was in USD. But right when you went up to the Chanel small double flap, it was right on par with what I could buy it in the US. And because, again, I was well educated and I knew the price differences, I bought it in Paris and ended up saving $1,000. So there are deals to be found. Absolutely. Education on prices is your best friend in order to do that. And happy shopping. I don't know a lot about the Asian markets, but I am looking to go to Japan next. So I will be hunting through all the luxury brands there and telling you all the tea when I make that trip. I'm thinking maybe of doing Japan and maybe Singapore or something. So stay tuned for those travel vlogs. I'm so excited for that to be my next big trip. If you have any other questions, absolutely DM me on Instagram. My Instagram is at currentlycarter if you don't follow me there already, or leave a comment down below. And while you're there, pretty please rate this podcast. It really helps out a brand new podcast like mine. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys in the next one. Bye.